What is your only comfort in life and death? How would you answer that question? Well, here's one answer, an answer based on the teachings of the Bible. What is your only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood, and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by His Holy Spirit, He also assures me of eternal life, and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for Him. That's from the Heidelberg Catechism, and it expresses the biblical hope of the gospel. Welcome to Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breidenhoff. Please join us as we spend a few minutes in God's Word, searching the Scriptures together and listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Here's our pastor and teacher, Wes Breidenhoff.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Gospel Talk. I'm glad that you've joined me once again this afternoon as we consider important truths from the Holy Scriptures, truths that also pertain to our salvation, to the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, this week on Gospel Talk, we're continuing our series on basic Christian doctrine. And at the beginning of today's program, I want to remind you that if you have any questions about anything you hear on the program, you can feel free to email them to me, and I'll try my best to answer them. The email address is gospeltalk, all one word, at hotmail.com. gospeltalk@hotmail.com. Send me in your questions. I'd love to try my best to answer them for you. You can also leave comments or questions at the blog, gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com. gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com. There's an opportunity there for you to leave comments, questions. You can also find our archive of past programs. So if you've missed a program or you want to listen to a program again, you can do so right there. So let's get into today's subject matter. Yesterday we began talking about the creation and fall of man. So we're still at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2, Genesis 3 as well. So the Bible teaches that God created man from the dust of the ground. Genesis 2, verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." And we take that at face value. There are those who say, no, well, science has proven that man is evolved over millions and billions of years. Genesis 2, verse 7 says something completely different. It says that God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God says it right here in Genesis 2, 7. The rest of the Bible assumes the truth of this. On Monday, we looked at, for instance, Luke 3, verse 38, which says that Adam was a son of God, that God directly created Adam, just as Adam was the father of Seth. Genesis 2, verse 7. The New Testament writers believed that to be the word of God, infallible and inerrant. We accept it in the same way. So God created man from dust of the ground. He also created him in his image. Talk about the image of God at the very beginning. That means that man was created good and righteous and holy. His will could conform to the will of God in every respect. Now, when we talk about the image of God today, it's something completely different. For believers, for Christians, they are being restored to the image of God exactly the way that it was at the beginning, and even probably even better than what it was at the beginning, because they are united to Christ, who is the second Adam. Now, when we talk about the image of God, we have to distinguish between two aspects. We talk about the narrower aspect, the ethical aspect, true righteousness and holiness. After the fall into sin, man lost that completely. We can also talk about the broader aspect of the image of God, whereby man still reflects, even in his fallen state, man still reflects God's image in certain ways. For instance, God can communicate. God speaks. He speaks in his word to us. He's also in past times spoken verbally. He's written things. God is a communicator. Man is also a communicator. Even fallen human beings are communicators. And in that way, they reflect the image of God as well. We talk about that as the broader sense. But even there, the fall into sin has also vandalized, has also scarred and impacted the broader aspect of the image of God. So the fall into sin has dramatically affected the way in which we can say that all people are in the image of God. Yes, All people are in the image of God, but we do have to take into account the fall into sin. So man was created that way at the beginning. But afterwards, he didn't appreciate it. He didn't value his excellent position. And instead, he listened to the devil. He listened to the devil. The devil told him, you know, did God really say? And he created doubt about God and his motivations and so on. Adam listened to Satan, you know, after his wife had first listened to Satan, and he plunged the whole human race into sin and death. And so man has lost many of these excellent gifts which he once received from God, and there's nothing left but some small traces which are sufficient to make man inexcusable, as Romans 1 says. The light that is in us has been changed into darkness. So when we talk about man in his fallen state, we talk about total inability. There is a total inability on the part of fallen man to do anything that pleases God, anything that could possibly merit salvation from God or anything. There's nothing that we can do to put ourselves back into favor with God. We are totally unable to do that. So we have what is called original sin. Original sin is the sin that is imputed to us through Adam as the head of the human race. And so, you know, people talk about free will. People talk about how man has a free will. Even Christians will quite frequently talk about that. But fallen man, according to the Bible, is a slave to sin. He is a slave to sin. That means that he does not have a free will. He is a slave to sinful thoughts and to sinful inclinations. He can't please God. It is impossible for him to please God because he is dead in sin. Ephesians 2 verse 1, dead in sins and trespasses. And so no one can receive anything except what is given to him from heaven. For who dares to boast that he of himself can do any good when Christ says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That comes from John 6, verse 44. And actually, the word that's used there, draws, it's used elsewhere in the Bible to refer to dragging. You don't come cooperating on your way to the Father. Instead, the Holy Spirit works in you and drags you because you're dead. You can't go on your own. You need someone to give you life and to give you strength, and the Holy Spirit does that. So no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That is a crucial passage. Who will glory in his own will then, when he understands that the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God? The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. That comes from 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And Romans 8 verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. The carnal mind, the mind that is dominated by sin, is always of a mind to hate God as an enemy. So you can't talk about free will in unregenerate people, people who are unbelievers. You know, when people have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, then their wills are set free. Their wills are set free to serve Christ. But before that, there is no such thing as free will. Who can speak of his knowledge, since the unspiritual man does not receive the gifts of the Spirit of God? In short, who dares to claim anything when he realizes that we are not competent of ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but that our competence is from God? And here we think of a passage such as 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Our sufficiency or our competence, our fitness is from God, not from ourselves, not from our own resources. And therefore, what the apostle says in Philippians is absolutely true. It is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. There is no understanding nor will conformable to the understanding and will of God unless Christ has brought it about. As he teaches us in John 15:5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So we've talked yesterday about the sovereignty of God in all things. And today we're talking about the total inability of man, the total inability of fallen man to climb his way up to God, to make moves towards God. God has to do it all for us. For apart from me, you can do nothing, says Jesus Christ in John 15:5. That is crucially important for us to understand. You know, sometimes, you know, you hear people say things like, you know, God has done his part, now you have to do your part. Take the step towards God. But you can't. You're dead. You're dead in sin. You can't do that. And when you look back and you see that you're a Christian now, that is entirely of the grace of God. The only one who gets glory, the only one who gets praise for that is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's all for him. It's all of grace, lest any man should boast, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2. And so we talk about the sovereignty of God in all things. We also talk about the sovereignty of God in our salvation. That is a basic Christian doctrine that we have to hold on to. Fortunately, it's something that's often lost today. People don't want to accept God's sovereignty in our salvation. But we do accept it because the Bible clearly teaches it. So we've talked a little bit about the inability of man, a little bit about original sin. The disobedience of Adam means that original sin has spread throughout the entire human race. Romans 5:14 is the classic passage there. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come. So, original sin is the sin that is passed on to us from Adam. It's a corruption of the entire nature of man. It is a hereditary evil. Genesis 6:3 says, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Psalm 51:5, behold, David says, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. David speaking for all men when he says that. So this hereditary evil, it's passed down to each and every human being. And so you come into this world not as an innocent child, but you come as someone who is spiritually dead on arrival. Ephesians 2 verse 1, dead in sins and trespasses. That applies not only to adults who have a lifetime of living and making all kinds of sinful choices, that also applies even to the youngest children. Behold, I was conceived and born in sin, says David. Well, we'll continue with this tomorrow. I hope you'll join me again for Gospel Talk. Till next time, may God bless you richly in every way.
You've been listening to Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breidenhoff. We trust that the Word of God has blessed you this afternoon. This broadcast comes to you courtesy of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. The Langley Canadian Reformed Church always welcomes visitors. You can find us at 21804 52nd Avenue in Langley, just to the east of the airport. Our Sunday worship times are 9:30 and 2. You can find more information about the Langley Canadian Reformed Church at our website, www.langleycanrc.org. Once again, that website, www.langleycanrc.org. You can email us at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breidenhoff. Thanks for listening.